I like how you guys, you know, put the pulpit up there with showing their muscles. That's good. So, okay, Freaky Fast Fellowship, my pastor's heart was like, no, what about the introverts? They're not coming next week. I'm going to have a table for the introverts, okay? You don't have to do Freaky Fast. We'll just sit together. We're going to provide lunch, and then we'll have cookies, okay? Anybody who's like, no, we're going to have cookies together, so I think we'll be good. It's fun to be with you this week, and I don't know if you've had a bad day, but there's that saying, misery loves company. So if you've had a bad week, let me show you a couple people who've also had a bad week, and they have the pictures to show it. This is just nice with kids showing, you know, how to use a fire hose. And this other one, this is a new home that was built in Montana, and a couple of cows got in there and went there for a month. That's hard. This is a guy just, haven't you just had a nice walk in the woods, stick your head in a tree, and there you go. And there we have your best day at Home Depot. And then this last one, NFL denied, that is a picture of Sarah and Johnny Lane's fantasy football league this year. 0-10. But Sarah, I heard that you didn't play your good players just to make your husband feel better. Thank you for being so loving. But you know, have you ever had just one of those hard days? And you're not alone. The last chapters, and we've been going through the story, and it's been so good, but it's that time in the story where things get really intense and really hard. I love the disciples here because they think, we've got this. Listen to what it says in John 16. Jesus is talking. He says, yes, I came from the Father into the world, and now I will leave the world and return to the Father. Then his disciples said, at last you are speaking plainly and not figuratively. Now we understand that you now speak everything and there's no need to question you. From this we believe that you came from God. So in other words, Jesus is telling them, and he's told them before, hey, I'm going to have to leave, but in order for me to get there, it's going to be hard. And they're like, oh, we've got this. Okay. Now you're actually not talking in parables. You're just telling us we've got it. And I love how Jesus responds. Do you finally believe? But the time is coming, indeed is here now, when you will be scattered. Each one going his own way, leaving me alone. How powerful is that, that Jesus says that? And then, boy, does Jesus understand something that I want us to understand today. Yet I'm not alone because the Father is with me. You know, Jesus knew what was going to happen. He trusted the Father. But if you think about the disciples, they're living real time and Friday hits. They just have experienced the trauma of the crucifixion. They had not yet experienced the glory of Sunday. It was that day, it was Saturday, it was Desperation Saturday. It was the trauma of the crucifixion that they just experienced, but they had not yet experienced Sunday. I mean, just think about this. In their eyes, Christ now has been totally defeated. His body is utterly dead, stuck behind a rock that covers a tomb. A spear had sliced through his vital organs, and their Lord, their Savior, the one that was going to overthrow Rome, is now silent. Death was absolute. They're living this real time. No one was betting on the resurrection. Nobody was. Saturday was a bad day. Jesus' opponents were thrilled, and his disciples were hiding in fear that they would not experience the same fate that Jesus did. And you think about all of that going on, and it wasn't because Jesus didn't try to prepare them. Multiple times Jesus said, guys, I know you're loving the miracles and everything's going good, but I am deliberately here for a purpose. In one of those times, in Mark chapter 9, it says, leaving that region, they traveled through Galilee. Jesus didn't want anyone to know he was there, for he wanted to spend more time with his disciples to teach them. And he said to them, so this is one of those precious moments where Jesus is saying, something's coming and it's going to be hard. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of his enemies. He will be killed, but 3 days later, he'll rise from the dead. And then Mark writes this, they didn't understand what he was saying. However, they were afraid to ask him what he meant. And then on that Saturday evening, it makes sense that the disciples who were women went out to buy burial spices. And that's what the scripture says as it goes on in Mark. Saturday evening, when the Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene, the mother of James, and Salome went out and purchased burial spices so they could anoint Jesus' body. Very early Sunday morning, just as sunrise, they went to the tomb. On the way there, they asked each other, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? I mean, it was an incredible trauma on Friday to watch Jesus be crucified. And Saturday was a super sad day. They had no idea that Sunday was coming. You know, they'd never experienced Easter, but I have. And even though I've experienced so many Easters, there are times in my life where I'm living as if it's still Saturday. And things aren't going well, and we want things to go well. This is a great picture. It's their new Roomba and their puppy. And then the next picture, the puppy made a deposit, and the Roomba decided to run over the deposit and clean the rest of the house. Now, that's a bad day. Yeah, I don't know if any of you have a Roomba and you've ever done that. I don't really want to know, but that's not a good day. But think about what's going on here. Have you ever been stuck in a Saturday-type situation? Have you ever wished that there would be a S-O-N rise in your world that, God, you got to help. God, you have to make a difference. You remember Mary Magdalene. She was the one that Jesus delivered from demonic oppression. And it's Saturday, and she's absolutely overwhelmed. And Sunday morning, she shows up at the tomb. And you can just see in the dialogue here how devastated she is. But there was something that I learned this week that I'd never seen. And I've read these scriptures, I don't know how many times, how many years. But she's in Saturday, and it's a super sad Saturday. And I mean, I know life gets hard. But when Jesus says, and they believe he's the Son of God, and now the Son of God is dead, that's a hard day. Peter knows that he denied him. Judas has taken his own life in the days to come because of what he did. Mary is given to John. Hey, John, can you take care of her? I mean, this is a hard time. And then something happens. And I believe that something that happens can also happen again today. Let's take just a quick look at this. In John chapter 20, it says this. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she stooped and looked in. I mean, she can't believe that the one who delivered her, the one who befriended her, is now gone. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they have taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they have put him." Remember, Jesus said, it's going to get hard. Mary is not even fazed by the fact there really is an empty tomb. And Jesus said, on that third day, I'm going to rise from the dead. Mary's not even fazed. There are two angels sitting there talking to her. I mean, I think they might have looked like Sky. Big guy, Birkenstocks, I'm here, you know. I don't know. But I mean, it could have been that thing. I mean, Mary sees the empty tomb. There are two angels in there. She doesn't get it. Wow. And there are times in life where we're beside ourselves. And even if the tomb is empty, and even if there's two angels there, our focus is so revolved around trauma, we can't see straight. I mean, it even gets more interesting. She turned to leave and saw somebody standing there. It was Jesus, right? The one who had delivered her, the one who had befriended her. She turns and she sees somebody standing there. It's actually Jesus Christ raised from the dead. And the scripture says she did not recognize him. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." How many times have I preached an Easter service? How many times have you gone to Easter Sunday and were so excited because you know that Christ is risen? How many times have you been in such despair and trauma, even if Jesus were standing right there, because of our focus, we wouldn't be able to see him? I've actually been there. Like, we're not even seeing it in real time. We know that Jesus is raised. But the reality is Mary is a good example of how life can be at times. It's so hard, we're so devastated that we can't see anything but that thing in front of us. The trauma. It's Friday, and we pray to God a Sunday's coming. But we're stuck on Saturday. And Saturday is a Saturday than every other day. Because we don't have hope. And then everything changes. Everything changes. Jesus mentions one word, and everything's different. Jesus says, "Mary." I don't know if he would have said, "Oh, Mary, 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 Mary." Turn your focus away from Friday to me. I mean, that's what happened. "Mary," Jesus said, and she turned to him and cried out, "Rabboni," which in Hebrew is teacher. He speaks her name because he knows her name. He speaks her name because the character of Jesus, he died so that we might have life, and he cares. He cares about her. He cares about you. He cares about me. I mean, Jesus, you actually appeared to her. Why? Because that's who Jesus is. In our hard times, he's not leaving. in our worst day, when there has been trauma that we didn't ever anticipate, he's there. But Mary could have also kept her focus on her and not him, and nothing would have changed. And that's hard for me to do at times. When I'm reeling in pain, I'm like, God, why didn't, couldn't, shouldn't you have, could you not have? Instead of, oh, you are with me. You will carry me. You will help me. What I love about Jesus is that he does see you. He does see everything that's going on. And instead of being mad at Mary and saying, did I not tell you this? Did I not try to go over this with you before? I told you I was going to leave. Mary, I'm the one who delivered you. Did you not think I can help you now? Just full of compassion. Mary, I'm here. During the times when it feels like we don't have one day of Saturday, but it feels like we have a lot of Saturday going on and we're hoping for a Sunday to come, I want you to realize you're not forgotten. He knows your name, but we have to turn our focus towards him. In John, it says this, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them. Think about that for a moment. I know them. You are the one he knows. But we have to listen to his voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me, for my Father has given them to me, and he is more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from my Father's hands. And the disciples, how many times did Jesus tell them what was going to happen? And it was that Sunday, they were all hiding. They were in fear, terrified, and this is what the scripture says in John 20. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. All right, that's not even fair. I mean, have you ever, like, turned around and somebody was there? I do that to the staff sometimes. I'll go, hi, and they about go through the ceiling. I'm like, oh, I didn't mean to scare you. And that's an absolute lie every time I say that to them. Because I'm trying to pretend like I'm nice, but I'm really not. I mean, I want to be nice, but I don't know if they always think that that's nice. Back to the scriptures. I don't even know how that related to Jesus. Maybe I just needed to confess that to you today. I don't know. But you can imagine, and have you ever been there? I'm just terrified. I'm just frozen. Because of the hard things in life, I don't want to step out. Next Sunday, meeting somebody, I don't like the people that I used to know. I don't want to know. I don't know that I want to put myself out there again. I don't want to do this again because it hurts. I remember what happened. And the disciples are just like us. We're going to lock the door because they killed the best one of us. I mean, if they killed God's son, what are they going to do to us? Like we all hung out. And Jesus doesn't come in and say, you guys are so dumb. Remember when you said, hey, we got this. We're good. Don't we? We all got this until it happens. And they're like, how did that happen? God, where were you? Where are you? I love it. Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. Can you imagine that? Peace be with you. And the very moment you know, what did they see? He showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. I mean, imagine Jesus going, hey, peace be with you. They're freaked out, and all of a sudden they go, oh, that really is him. Everything changed. And it says that. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. The very first scripture that we talked about, when you will be scattered, each one of you going his own way, leaving me alone. But I'm not alone because the Father is with me. Jesus had to live now what he was telling his followers. You're not alone through your darkest hour. And Jesus' darkest hour was when he was hanging on the cross. It was so bad, he always addressed the Heavenly Father as Father. But at that moment, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? I mean, in his darkest hour. Then the very last words of Jesus were what? Father, into your hands do I commit me, my spirit. Jesus is telling his followers, I know it's hard, and it's going to get harder. But I care about you. I know your name. I'm with you. And where our focus is depends on where our emptiness will be or where our strength will be. Think about Stephen in the book of Acts. He was martyred for his faith. He was the first martyr. But his very last words were almost identical to the Lord's, because his focus was on the Lord and he saw the things of the Lord as he was being murdered at that moment. Forgive them for what they've done. Paul was beaten. Peter, they were beaten. And they found his strength. And I learned this last week. I'm like, wait a minute. Jim, when you're going through a hard time, it's so easy to focus on the thing. It's so easy to focus on you. It's so easy to go into despair and to be despondent and just, God, where instead of saying, you know what? I'm locking my eyes on Jesus because he knows my name, right? And in him, he will bring peace. You know, today is Sunday. Today's Sunday, and it's that day for you to let go of Saturday. Today is Sunday. Christ knows your name. He wants to bring you peace. But the part we play is where we choose to focus. And I wish I could say every time something's gone really bad in my world, I've focused on Christ and had my, you know, 20/20 vision, but I just don't. Some days are sad days. And as we go into the holiday season, that's a day when we're reminded at times of sad days and sad things. And I want to encourage you that if Christ were here today, he'd tell you, I know your name. He'd show up when you're paralyzed and say, can you just take my peace with you? Can you just lean into me a little bit more? I know your name. I care about you. And what a beautiful example we see today. I want to pray. This is one of my favorite parts of Scripture. When Jesus is speaking, he says, come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens. I want to help you, and I want to give you rest. I want you to know I know your name. I care about you. I want to give you peace. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your soul. That's different than rest for your body. That's different than spending a week at Disneyland and everything's good. And then you come back and you're like, I'm so exhausted still. There's a difference between rest and rest for your soul. This world can provide a lot of things for us, but never rest for our soul. And this is what Jesus says. My yoke is easy to bear, and my burden I give you is light. Doesn't mean life is easy, and it doesn't mean we're not going to get absolutely beat up. But what Jesus is giving us is a roadmap how to deal with that. Come to me. Come to me if you're weary and you carry a big burden today. It is a Saturday time, but I can promise you, he's saying a Sunday's coming. Right? Let me help you. Let me teach you. And that's what struck me so much this week. It was Trauma Friday, Sad Saturday, but Jesus shows up on Sunday and says, Mary, I know who you are, and I care. Hey, disciples, I'm not going to put you down. I'm just going to walk in the room. You're all going to freak out and be scared. And I know he liked that. I just do. But then he says, I mean, imagine you're terrified, and all of a sudden Jesus is like, ding, hi. I don't care who you are. You wouldn't go, oh, there you are. You're going. Because that just doesn't happen. And Jesus says, peace. Peace for you. And they needed that, because the days coming were not going to be easy for them. They were persecuted. They were mistreated. But they were solid because of who Christ was in them. The same way Christ was solid when he said, all of you can abandon me, but I'm not alone because the Father is with me. So I want to pray this prayer for us as we go today, and maybe it will mean something to you if you're going through a hard time. Father, we come to you, and I pray this prayer that we would come to you, Lord, if we're weary and carry heavy burdens. We come to you, and we just say, this is why I'm weary. This is the burden that I carry. I don't want to be in a Saturday life. I want to somehow get a glimpse of Sunday hope. And Lord, we carry these burdens, and they're too much, and we give them to you. If you said you're going to give us rest, then we believe, and we're going to trust you that we'll be able to have rest. God, what does it mean to take that yoke upon you, to be taught by you? Lord, help us that you don't want to go, you want to be side by side with us. You want to walk with us. You want to be connected with us. We want to walk hand in hand. And Lord, we need to understand. We need to let you teach us. We need to understand the Word of God. It matters. It makes a difference. It brings hope. It brings healing. It brings us life in the midst of despair. God, would you help us? We want you to teach us. We know that you're humble. We know that you're not angry with us. We know that you died so that we might have life, and the scripture says, have it abundantly. So would you help us in that humble way that you are, that strength. You're gentle, and And I pray today that you would restore the souls at Hope Church that feel that just it's just been too long in a Saturday. Maybe the circumstances won't change, but you can help us change how we look at things. God, thank you that your yoke is easy to bear. And your burden you give us is lighter than when we take life upon ourselves. God, I pray for everyone today. God, truly from the bottom of my heart, that you'll bless them, that you'll keep them, Lord. That your face will radiate on us and through us, God. And that we literally will live in your peace, I pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen, amen. I love y'all. God bless you today. Hope you have a great day.